this morning, Romans chapter 8, that's on page 1134, and I'll explain in a few moments why we're there and not where you thought we might be this morning in our published program. Sometimes God wants to say specific things to us at specific times. I guess that, like me, many of you grew up with certain hero figures. I'm going to be going to date myself by showing you some of the hero figures that I grew up with. But I used to love Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds are go. Remember that? I grew up with Thunderbirds. I loved that, actually. I can't wait for it to come around. They lived in Dublin in those days, and the television reception was so bad. We used to get a signal from England, and it used to come and go all the time. It used to drive us mad as kids. Thunderbirds are go. And then we used to watch the original Batman and Robin. That was quite something, wasn't it? Hero figures that we grew up with, and our hero figures have become an awful lot more sophisticated now. If you follow any of the Marvel films that are sort of doing the rounds at the moment, I don't know how they churn these films out so quickly. Well, I'm a bit of a Marvel fan as well, trying to get to as many of these as I can with my kids. But there are so many hero figures that some of them from the past have been brought back again and recreated. We've got Captain America, we've got Iron Man, we've got Wonder Woman, we've got the Incredible Hulk, we've got Spider-Man, we've got Thor, we've got Wolverine, we've got Black Panther, and the list goes on and on and on. And now we have teams of superheroes. So we've got the Avengers and the Fantastic Four and Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe for some of you this morning, those names just sort of sweep over you. I have to say, I haven't a clue what you're talking about this morning. But you're familiar with the concept of a superhero, aren't you? The one who wins the day, who defeats evil with supernatural powers. Which means that weakness is not something we often talk about. We like to pretend that we're strong. We like to pretend to ourselves that we can make it on our own. And yet, you know, one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith runs like this, where God says to the Apostle Paul, as Paul struggles with a prayer that he longs to be answered, and he doesn't get the answer that he wants, and God says to Paul, "My power works best in weakness." And I don't know about you, but weakness is something that probably makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable, if we're honest. We like to think that we're strong, and we like to think that we're invincible and we can make it. But the question that I want us to think about this morning introduces a certain amount of vulnerability for us. But what happens in those moments in our life which we inevitably come to when we run out of answers? When you don't know what to pray for? And you don't know how you're going to see yourself through a situation which seems so dark and so bleak that even your faith struggles to cope. What do we do then when we reach those kind of places in our lives where there is nowhere else to turn and we run out of answers? What then? And this passage that we come to this morning says something staggering to us. It says that when we reach those kinds of weak and vulnerable moments in our lives, do you know what it says to us? It says, listen to this, it says, God himself prays for you. Wow. God himself prays for you. In and through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Is that staggering? During these summer Sundays in August, we're going to be thinking about prayer. We're going to look at some of the prayers that we find in the Bible. As I was sitting in church last Sunday morning, I sensed God saying to me, actually, no, I want you to start here. I don't want you to start with the program that you've put together. I want you to start here. I want you to start in the place where I pray for you. Because when we talk about prayer, sometimes we feel terribly guilty. We all know that we could do prayer better. And I sensed God saying to me here last Sunday morning, start in this place. Start in the place where I pray for you. So we're coming to Romans chapter 8, which is packed full of assurances and encouragements and certainty, where we discover here, if you have verses 26 and 27 open in front of you, that and in those weakest times, in those times when we get to the end of the road, when we are tempted to give in, God himself, who lives in us by his Holy Spirit, is for us. He's not against us. This magnificent chapter, if you have it open in front of you, starts with these words, "There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." Did you hear that this morning? If you're in Christ this morning, no condemnation. complete forgiveness. And it ends with these wonderful words, no separation. There is nothing that can separate you from the love that God has for you. Talk about two great backstops in a chapter. In many ways, the whole chapter is about the person of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We could entitle this chapter Supernatural Living for Natural People. We haven't got time to work through this chapter verse by verse this morning, but just have a look at verse 16 with me. It says this to us. It says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We need to be reminded this morning that you belong to God. And I want to remind you this morning that you can only know that through the personal work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I love the way the Message puts this verse. It says, God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are. Father and children. And then it goes on to say this, and we know we're going to get exactly what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. Listen to this next bit. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. And I want to speak to you this morning about hard times. I want to share some of the things that God's shown me this week about hard times, the tough stuff. I want to share with you this morning, what do we do when those sort of times come? Because we're certainly going to face them. And some of you this morning, I'm looking around this morning, you're in that place right now. What do we do when we feel that the brokenness of this fallen world and the pain that comes from living in it becomes almost too much for us to bear and we do not know what to pray, and we will all face those times? And for some of you, this is exactly what you need to hear from God this morning. And in verse 26, we read these words. Look at verse 26 with me. It says this to us. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit of the living God who lives in us helps us in our weakness. Or in the words of the Message, which I love going back to time and time again. The moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. And the context of these two verses is really important. If you have your Bible open in front of you, just glance at verses 17 to 23, because Paul has just given his readers a glimpse of the future. In verse 18, he says, I consider that what we're going through now, our present sufferings, as he calls them, they're not worth comparing with the glory that's coming. How about that for a perspective setter? And then in verse 24, if you look at it, he talks about that he says, our future hope of new creation is anchored to the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is not wishful thinking stuff. This is what we base our lives on. And here in verses 26 and 27, what he wants us to grasp is this, that whatever we may be facing, whatever you may be going through, whatever difficult situation you may face today, this week, or in the future, or sometime ahead of you, we have God's help right now through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? What does it feel like? What might we expect to experience when we say those sorts of things? There's three things I just want you to notice in these verses this morning. And here's the first one. They're not difficult to spot. Verse 26, first part of it says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Holy Spirit helps us when those times come. What kind of help are we talking about? But what does help look like in ordinary, everyday life? A lovely picture that comes to mind is someone helping another person to carry a heavy load. It's helping someone to do something that they can't do by themselves and making it a lot easier for them to do it. And over again in the Old Testament, God is often referred to as our helper. Psalm 46. That's my strength and refuge, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Help comes from the Lord. And in John chapter 14, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as our helper. our divine helper, the one who's taken up permanent residence in us, who will be with us forever. And verse 26 makes it clear that when you and I are reduced to helplessness, the Holy Spirit will help us. He takes hold of our human frailty. He empowers us in our weakness. Maybe you've never thought about the Holy Spirit like that before. He is your helper. Comes to us at times like this and says, may I help you? May I bear that burden with you? And Paul makes it very clear in verse 26 that offer of help comes in the context of prayer. When we do not know what we ought to pray for, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Paul here is talking not about how to pray. We know how to pray, don't we? I hope we do. Jesus gave that wonderful model prayer. He says, well, you pray like this. Paul's talking here about the content of our prayers, how to pray when we do not know how we ought to pray. As human beings, our vision is so limited. We can only see a fraction of the universe. Our perspective and our prayers are inevitably tainted by what we want. So how can we be sure that we are praying for the right thing when we get to the end of ourselves? When we run out of words with God, how can we possibly know what is best for us and best for those for whom we're praying? Ecclesiastes 6 verse 12 nails the dilemma for us on the head. It says this, and who knows what is best for us as we live our meager smoke and shadow lives? And who can tell any of us the next chapter of our lives? That's the dilemma. It's not that we don't know how to pray. These verses are all about the content of our prayers. When we find ourselves in those situations when we do not know what we ought to pray for, when that uncertainty is being created because of what verse 26 describes here as our weakness. And that's the bit that makes us feel a bit vulnerable, isn't it, when we come to this sort of stuff. I like to think that we're strong. I like to think that we can do it on our own. The word for weakness, it's the same word in the New Testament that's used for sickness. It refers to those moments in life when we are physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually exhausted, when we have come to the end of ourselves and we do not know what to do next. When we can no longer express it in words. Where the context of these verses comes about our weakness in as we're caught up in this broken and fallen world of ours. Look at verse 22. Paul's description is so apt, isn't it? He says the whole of this world in which we're living in, he says it's groaning. You don't really need to illustrate that to you this morning. He says not only the world in which we live is groaning, waiting to be delivered. He says we're groaning too, because we're caught up in this broken and fallen world. We feel the pain of this broken world because we're broken. And we live in this tension, don't we, between this wonderful promise of new creation which God has given to us, and yet the stuff that we have to deal with in our everyday lives now. And we live with this tension between what's coming and the stuff that we're in now. How do we pray when we feel that tension? What then? As we sit in the darkness, with the promise of new creation ringing in our ears, that's the question that verse 26 is asking. What then? And here we have the beginning of our answer. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He is our helper. He lives in us. One of the wonderful things we've been discovering through this series on the Holy Spirit, God takes up residence in us. He's our permanent resident. And he helps us at times like that. Second part of verse 26 helps us to answer that question a little bit further. Second part of verse 26 says this to us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The second thing, the Holy Spirit prays with us in our weakness. I want you to notice that word with. It's really important. It really helps us to unpack what Paul is saying. The Holy Spirit prays with us in our weakness. There's a really deep mystery going on here. Look at the second part of verse 26. We don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. There is a ministry going on here between the Spirit and the Father. Love the words of the Message again. It's deeply mysterious what's going on here, but I love the truth of it. If we don't know how or what to pray, He, the Holy Spirit, does our praying, and here it comes again, in us and for us, making prayers out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. When we are too defeated and too confused to pray, when the familiar words and phrases and the ways that we've used in the past seem so inadequate, not only is there Holy Spirit our helper, He's our advocate, He intercedes between us and the Father in heaven. And here Paul shows us what that looks like. This is not about sitting back and doing nothing when we run out of words or do not know how to pray. It's quite the opposite. This is an experience of cooperation in which you and I are deeply involved in this. The Holy Spirit prays with us. He prays in us and for us. These are cries and groans from the deepest part of our hearts and souls, where these groans are quite simply too deep for words. There are times in our lives, are there not, when we cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long do I have to go through this? When is this situation going to change?" When all we can cry out is, "Have mercy, O God," because we don't know what else to pray. Paul says here the Holy Spirit prays with us. He intercedes for us. He prays in us and for us. Ever prayed like that? You've come to the end of yourself and you can't even put your prayers into words. I have. I remember many situations as a pastor crying out to God for desperate situations where there seems to be no answers. No way out, no way forward. We come to the end of ourselves, and nothing short of knowing that God is for us will do. But don't miss the wonder of what Paul is saying here. What he is saying to us here is that you are not alone. Whatever you may be facing this morning, whatever may be coming to you, whatever difficult situations you may be faced with, you are not on your own. Paul says in this passage, God is for us, not against us. He's for us. He's on our side. This is about the Holy Spirit who lives in us and who identifies with our spirit. And when we find ourselves in that situation, He is the one who moves us to cry out to God in the first place. These are His groanings. Being expressed and experienced as our groanings. In that moment of deepest crisis, when you do not know what to ask for, when you do not know what is best, those times when our prayers are beyond words are the very times that God's Spirit is working for us and in us. These are the times when God carries us, as that wonderful Footprints poem illustrates so well. I came across this lovely quotation during the week, which kind of nails this down for me. I hope it does for you too. The Holy Spirit is in our struggles as He directs our faith to God. He lifts our worthless cries. I love this next bit. He translates them into the words of the language of heaven. We can't do that. He can. Isn't that magnificent? Does that encourage you this morning? That when we find ourselves in that place where we run out of words, when we've come to the end of ourselves, when we do not know how we ought to pray, when we do not know what is right to ask for, when all we can manage is a deep cry from our hearts, the Holy Spirit takes those cries and translates them into the language of heaven. Wow. Wow. Third thing I want you to notice here is that the Holy Spirit and He prays with us in our weaknesses. The next couple of verses teach us this, that the Holy Spirit's prayers for us are always answered. We struggle, don't we, with the sense of unanswered prayer sometimes in how we say things. But these verses teach me that the prayers of the Holy Spirit for us are always answered. Let's read verses 27 and 28. He who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And look at the next verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. Let me tell you what I think Paul is saying to us here. I think this is what Paul is saying, that when we do not know what to pray for, when we do not know what is best for us, the Holy Spirit searches our hearts, it says here in verse 27. He takes the cries of our hearts, he translates them into the language of heaven that are always in accordance with the purposes and will of God. Let me try and illustrate that. And illustrations always end up a little bit frivolous sometimes, but let me give it a go. So when I am expressing to God what is on my heart, and I don't know quite what I should pray for or how I should pray, and maybe my prayers are not even audible words, the Spirit says something like this to the Father: Adrian really doesn't know what to ask for right now. He cannot find the words. He really doesn't know what is best. He thinks this is what he wants, but this is what he needs. And the Holy Spirit's prayer for me is answered. That's what I think is going on in this verse. And for those of you who are parents, you might like this analogy a little bit more. Because if you have a small child who comes to you as a parent with a really sharp knife, because that's what they think they want, because they've got a job to do, what are you going to do? Are you going to give it to them? Are you going to help them as a loving and caring parent to find a better and safer way of doing what they want to do? Of course that's what you'll do. And we are his children. He is our Father in heaven. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. My power is made perfect, or it works best, says God, in your weakness. You see, these are the kind of prayers that strip us bare. When we end up praying like this, there's nothing left. It's all gone. The pride is gone. The self-sufficiency is gone. Dealing with our thinking that we can deal with it on our own disappears. We're confronted with our own inabilities, where we're forced to say, you know what, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. I can't do this on my own. I don't know how to get through this. And our struggle is thinking to ourselves, well, how do I pray? How do I pray at times like that? You know what? That's when God works. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's when God can do his deepest work in us. That's the point at which we're able to experience the Holy Spirit's help. He helps us in our weakness. He prays with us in our weaknesses. And here's the encouragement that when we don't know what to pray or what is best for us to pray, his prayers for us are always answered. Because God is always working for the ultimate good of those who love him. What does verse 27 say to us? It says that the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. We may not always know how to pray in accordance with the will of God, and often we don't. But you know what? The Spirit does. And in verse 28, it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So what are the practical lessons from this passage this morning? What do we take away with us as we go into a new week? How does this help us in our praying? How is this going to help some of you this morning who I know are faced with the most incredibly difficult situations at the moment? There are a few practical pointers that I trust will help us. They certainly helped me this week. Firstly, prayer means being real with God. It means being honest about our weaknesses. Prayer is about saying to God, this is how it really is. He searches our hearts. He knows. Maybe for some of you, you've been finding it really difficult to pray. Maybe you're in a season in your life where prayer has been almost impossible, or perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you've given up on prayer altogether. Or maybe you're facing a real crisis right now, and the circumstances that you have found yourself in have pulled the rug from under you, and you are left without words. Regardless of where you may be this morning, I want you to hear this from God's word this morning. The Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness. He's there as your helper. Will you accept his help? That's the question, isn't it? Will you accept his help? Second thing. Don't worry about trying to find the right words. Sometimes we can get so hung up on that, can't we? Yeah, I've just got to use the right words. I've got to use the right phrase. These verses teach us, actually, that this is what happens when we run out of words. When all we have left is the deepest cries of our heart, God does not need special words and phrases in order to hear our prayers. Prayer is not a formula. It is a relationship with the living God. And when the only prayer that you can manage is a groan, that is a beautiful sight in the face of God. It's a beautiful sight. It is humanly weak, but it has power in heaven through the interceding work of the Holy Spirit. That when you and I, and all we can do is utter a simple cry, the Holy Spirit takes you into a deeper place of giving yourself completely to God. Maybe that's the greatest thing that we need to happen to us. We don't need special words. Here's the third thing. You need to remember that God understands you. He knows. Verse 27 says that by his Holy Spirit who lives in you, he searches your heart. He knows. He sees. He knows us when we're in the darkest places because the Holy Spirit knows the longing of our hearts. He hears the faintest whispers of our hearts. He hears the unspoken prayers. He hears the inaudible prayers. The Holy Spirit will intercede with you for all the twists and turns of life, whatever you may be facing, to whatever crisis point you may come to, when you find that you cannot pray, right up to the moment when you take your final breath. He knows. And he understands. Fourthly, and you see it here in verse 27, prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's not about doing deals with God, as we saw in that video clip. Verse 27 is all about finding ourselves in our brokenness, and more than anything else, we just want to see more of the glory of God. It means that when we don't know what to pray or what we ought to pray for or what is best, the Holy Spirit takes those prayers and translates them, as we said a few minutes ago, into the language of heaven. And finally, as we sort of put things together this morning, these verses encourage us to pray with great confidence, don't they? Don't they? Because when we pray, God is listening to our hearts. And here it is. He will always give us what is best for us. Not what we think we necessarily need. I came across this lovely poem, sort of stroke quotation. I know the name of it, the person who wrote it, probably somebody will tell me afterwards. But it kind of nails this down for me. And here it is. Let me read it to you. I'll put the words on the screen so that you can see it as well. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. See what I mean? We think we know what we want, but God gives us what we need. That continues. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, and I was given poverty so that I could be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of others, and I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I don't know about you, but for me, God's often done his deepest work in my life in those darkest places. I asked for all the things that I might enjoy God, and I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. That's what Paul's talking about here. And this quotation finishes, almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answers. I am among all men most richly blessed. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better place of starting this series on prayer than here in Romans chapter 8, where God prays for us. Prayer is the most incredible gift that's been given to us. God's made it possible for us to pray about anything, anytime, anywhere. And here in Romans chapter 8, we're shown that even when we do not know how to pray, when we reach those points in our lives, we don't know what we ought to pray for. God's Holy Spirit cooperates with our spirit and takes those unspoken prayers and those cries and translates them into the language of heaven. And somehow, in God's purposes, he works all things for our ultimate good as that happens. My power works best in weakness. Why don't we pause this morning and reflect for a few moments? I don't believe we're in this passage this morning by accident. I believe we're here because there's some things that God wants us to hear this morning. Trust that resonates with your heart as well. So why don't we just sit quietly for a few moments and express in our hearts those unspoken prayers. Tell God what's on your heart this morning. Be real with him. He knows. He understands. Prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's about praying, God, what's best for me? What's best for the person I'm praying for? Take my prayers. Take these inaudible words and translate them into the language of heaven. And God's promised to do that for us. So let's sit, shall we, with God's word for a few moments. And let's just speak to our Father in heaven. We are his children. He is our Father. Let's do that. Father in heaven, we are your children, and you are our heavenly Father. And our prayer is simply this morning. Take the cries of our hearts and translate them into the language of heaven, we pray. And work them out for our ultimate good, for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.